problem up to about 12 years ago. All of a sudden, they had wells. They've had wells around. Now, all of a sudden, they've decided that his treatment plant has contaminated all the wells in that whole area. Up till now, though, up till, 12 years ago, nobody said it had contaminated any ground. He's got property now he can't sell. Property around him, people can't sell. What I'm saying is, these are short-term. They've only been doing it since 1980 some or whatever. That's a very short term when you think about what it contaminates the soil. He has a treatment plant. He can't sell it. He can't do nothing with it. The houses around it, their wells are all contaminated. They're in lawsuit. He's decided he's going to file bankruptcy on the whole property because he has nothing and everybody else has nothing either. They can't sell their houses because it's contaminated. My point of it is we're saying now, it's not going to, they approved this, and it's not going to do this, not going to do that. My point of it is it's in the wrong location because it's next to a main river. If that was, I'm going to pick a figure as, I'm going to say 10 miles from a main river, I wouldn't have a problem with it because you figure it's, in, especially you got to consider the runoff. This has, to me, the way everything I kept hearing, it has a lot of runoff, very serious amount of runoff. And that's something to be considered, too. And a buffer area of the amount that they talking here about that and doing nothing to it but just maybe planting or something like that. To me, a buffer area would mean making a mound up or something like that or to keep it from running off, like down to the fort at Slaughter Beach. He has a mound around his property that is at least, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 foot high, that for the water that comes in, not on a normal high tide, but like this last. I mean, I went down there today, down Cedar Creek Road there, down to Miss Pillion, and I looked toward the Miss Pillion Lighthouse, and the road was completely underwater. We have an extra high water right now, okay? That's not affecting him now, but my concern is we're getting more hurricanes. This last hurricane just missed us. If we had it, if that thing had just even come, like I say, 30 mile down, if he'd have had that property would have been completely underwater, and when it left, it would have went right into the Miss Pillion River, and we not only would the water be contaminated, Melford would be contaminated because it would go right on up there. When the tide is coming in, when it goes back out, guess where it goes? Right back into Delaware Bay. We got nothing into Delaware Bay now because they've overfished it. We've dumping everything into it. I'm just saying it's the wrong location for what they're wanting to do. If that location was inland, I'm going to say 5-10 miles, but away from a main water source. I'm not saying, I don't think the contamination they have there is critical, but if they've just saturated that for the past year with any kind of contamination, if we got some kind of a high water or a hurricane coming in here, that's going to literally destroy what we have, and where we're getting down there now, we don't have a lot left. Dickie Kenton was saying it's they're going to do a lot with the Miss Pillion River. If you look at a lot of your other towns, they're doing a lot with the rivers, and it's bringing a lot of people into the area. And that's basically where I'm at, and I'm not looking from my property down there to be. Because I'm far enough away, I don't think he's going to, but I'm thinking he's going to affect us. Mm-hmm. Because that water that comes in on him and is going to go back out to the creek, it's going to come down to Slaughter Beach, okay? Guess what that does to Slaughter Beach? It contaminates the water. We don't have no fish now, much less anything else. I personally think a lot of your chicken houses should have mounds around them and different things and should be contaminated. That's another subject altogether.
It is.
We would address that in a different area. We're trying to address this one area, and I'm saying, let's take care of this particular part, and that can be another area to address, and I think it is being
addressed. Let's do that one another time.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, who's next? Oh, come on now. You can't be done. There we go. I knew there'd be one more.
Something different.
Mr. Fuquay, there isn't anything good on TV tonight anyway. Go ahead, sir.
My name's Jason Donovan. I live at 220-261 Woods Drive, which is on Shockley Road. I got 26 acres, about 200 feet from this proposed fields. I guess I got a couple questions. One of my questions was on the properties that they're doing this on now. They have wells drilled specifically for groundwater testing.
That's what I understood them to say. I believe it was 65 or so of them.
That was the number of per test.
Per test, I'll find out the
and,
answer for
my
you.
My question
that.
Would be on the properties that they have now.
Yeah.
On their current test now versus their control test at the beginning, has there been any increase in metals and different chemicals and pathogens, whatever?
Good question. We'll find out.
So, and I have seen this. I have a friend that lives about a half a mile from the Milton site.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there for a barbecue summer before last, and the flies are a ridiculous amount of flies there. I mean, you can't even eat outside to have a barbecue with the amount of flies that are at their house, the house flies. So I have seen that firsthand. So, and I don't know what they do.
Do you feel like the flies are a result of the
they were complaining about it, that the flies were never like that before. And
okay.
I mean, it's like normally you would have two or three flies maybe outside flying around your plate, and you have 20 or 30 around each plate. You know, you can't eat outside with flies like that during a barbecue, you know what I mean? So. I also have a shallow well. It's 46 foot deep, and my property is one of the properties where it runs across Macaulay Road, and the mm-hmm. water comes onto my property next to George Jester's. And that was my main question, was about the heavy metals and the tests that they've already done. And
I'm going to ask them that for you.
And my question to them would be, if there is any increase of anything next to this tidal water, I mean, why in the world would you put something next to a tidal water system? Or, I mean, that just seems like the wrong spot to me, and we're opposed to it. So,
okay.
Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, who wants to talk about the test wells? And and I want to ask about the insects have been mentioned, and flies have been mentioned by three or four different people now, and so I think it's worth asking you what that's all about, too. But test wells and bugs. Go ahead.
Okay. Currently, we have one farm where we have test wells on it, and all of our other farms, we have observation wells, so we can measure to the depth. We've got three on one farm. We have, I think, a total of 15 on another and four on another. We are in the process of converting those observation wells to monitoring wells to test for the loading limits. The heavy metals discussion regarding the wells would be very similar to the heavy metals in the soil. I would assume that if they're transported through the soil and get into the well, you'd be able to read them through our soil testing as well. Regarding the flies, I do have an operation at our Milton farm where we take sanitary waste. We run it through a process. We lime stabilize it to kill pathogens. We spray irrigate on that farm, which we don't plan on doing out here. But in the process of removing products that we find in a septic tank, whether it be a condom, a tampon, a latex glove, a diaper, or what have you, that stuff gets screened out, placed in a dumpster. This is the same procedure that the town of Milton does, that the county does, and so forth. About once a week, we empty that dumpster. There is a potential for flies due to what we are doing there. It's important for us not to have flies leaving our farm. We spend a lot of money with Ehrlich for fly control for that specific situation. And Denrec, if somebody has flies, will be the first person that lets us know that there's a problem. But a few years ago, we were taking a product from Sea-Watch International in Milford. That was this clam stuff that was nasty. That brought that created flies. We got rid of that, but for all intents and purposes, we do not have flies out at that farm. You know, that's all an issue of being able to spread this stuff. In the summer, when the ground is typically dry, we're almost always able to get out and spread this stuff immediately, I mean, except for a rain event that might hold us back. In the winter, there just aren't flies. And I did have somebody from the audience who got up to speak here earlier who I allowed to visit the farm a couple weeks ago. I just told him, you know, call me when you're around. I don't want, you know, stage a surprise attack. I'm not going to get everything ready. And we went out and we stood next to these piles. We went out to the field. We went in my plant. And, I mean, we do spend money on fly prevention. I want to be a good neighbor to my current neighbors. But it's a completely different aspect of my business than what I proposed for this location.
Okay, so what you're saying is this: the subject of this public hearing is not going to have that activity? Is that
correct.
What you're saying? And since this is a conditional use application, you are aware that if the commission chooses to approve it, we can place restrictions on it.
Absolutely.
So if by chance we decided to approve it, you wouldn't have any objection to a restriction against that kind of activity? Is that
absolutely correct? Not. I would not object to you placing that condition.
Well, I can assure you if it gets passed, it'll have one. So, because that's ridiculous. Flies. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Question for you.
I'm sorry.
You made a statement that you do not have test wells on the three other farms. Was that not a requirement?
On one farm, it has always been a requirement. Our Ellendale farm, we've always tested and monitored that water. On the other farms, we've had observation wells to test the depth to the water table. So we know our limitations when going onto a field.
So the before and after measurement of when you acquired the farm and in the condition that it's in now would only be available at one of the farms which has the monitoring.
Correct. Correct.
Has there been a substantial change?
Not that I've seen.
Thank you.
All right, sir. We'll take a seat. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
My name is Norman Wilfong. I live in Bucks Road in Milford, Delaware.
Okay, we need you to sign in there, too, if you would, please.
Up around the corner from where you're doing, talking about this.
Okay.
My concern is I heard him get up there and say he was bonded for $45,000. Now, if he's going to put all this in it with all this nitrogen and all going into the soil, I think the minimum he should be bonded for is at least $1 million, because we have several wells around there. And each well costs at least $3,000.
Okay.
And you just count the houses, $45,000 is a drop in the bucket. So that's, take that into consideration.
Okay.
When you, that's all I got to say.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay. Yes, sir. Come on up.
I'm going to do one thing at a time.
Boy, me too. Sometimes I don't do that very well.
My name's Lloyd Webb. You know, I live in 6007 Cedar Neck Road, approximately a mile and a half from the subject property.
Okay.
In strong opposition to the approval of this public of the use for this property.
Okay.
Primary reasons of concern, one of the infrastructure. We talked about that, the safety, the volume of the traffic, the quality of the traffic that would be on these roads that were not designed for this type of traffic. Also, the ecosystem concerns have been mentioned. Also, as Mr. Desmond has talked about, is the general the procedures that are adhered to by Clean Delaware. He spoke in generalities of most, typically, ideally. Those terms do not give me a lot of comfort in the fact that they are adhered to strictly. And I still have questions or concern about the wells and the monitoring and how that knowledge is passed and how the information is disseminated to the adjoining property owners. And I guess I would ask, I would encourage you to step above the law and to be, and not that to be the driving force of what type of decision we make, but to be good stewards of the land that we're all entrusted with. With that, I would like to close and encourage you to deny this conditional use permit. Thank you.
Sir. We thank you. All righty, who's next? Going once, there we go. Somebody just got back from deer hunting. How'd you make out today? Oh man,
crabbing.
Come on.
Deer hunting's not been good. My name is Bill Hopkins. I live not too far from the property that's proposed. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
First, Mr. Shockley was talking about runoff onto his vegetable crop.
Yeah.
If you can't grow a vegetable crop on that property for 2 to 3 years, what is the reason for that? Why can't you grow a vegetable crop on that property for 2 to 3 years?
I don't know, but I'll find out.
Well, that being said, if it runs off on a vegetable crop, we're going to consume it in some way or another. Secondly, my biggest concern with groundwater, and he was talking about test wells, will neighboring properties be advised or warned if they find something in these test wells that we need to be concerned with? Is that something that the state will, maybe DENREC will, is that something in their protocol that if they find something that is a concern, will we be notified, or do we actually have to find this out ourselves?
We'll find out.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. That's a couple good questions here. I mean, which of y'all want to respond to that?
I'll let the scientists.
First one is about the growing the crop on the property after a period of 2 or 3 years. The question is, how come? Why are we doing that? And then the second one is
the monitoring.
I'm sorry. It's just running together on me.
Okay. With regards to the residency question about the 2 to 3 year delay to the root crop or the human direct consumption vegetable, I would have to look into actually getting you an official response. But what they're looking at is the residency of these pathogens in the soil that may be latent. I'm sure they want to get beyond a certain period of time. Right. And I know that the EPA and individual DENREC state federal governments don't make those decisions without solid evidence. So if it's 2 to 3 years, it's not just a number that they threw at a dart on a board. It's based on university research, peer-reviewed, and so forth.
Just real quick, I don't think he's talking about the duration. He's saying that, the question's answered right. He's saying if he's applying this on this land now and you can't use crops for human consumption or grow crops for human consumption on this land, I think his question is more, all right, well, what's stopping me, or wouldn't that affect me the same way right next door at the exact same time, not 2 to 3 years down the road?
Actually, I think he was asking a couple questions. One was the question you just answered, and I think implicit in that question was, if that land is restricted, there obviously must be a reason. The reason is they're waiting for these pathogens to in the soil to go away. But in the meantime, if it rains on that property and that rainwater runs onto somebody else's property, is it going to bring those things with it and render that property or that crop useless? Certainly. That I think is the question.
Excuse me, sir. Not so much useless, but why? What is the reason? I'm not concerned about the crop. I'm concerned about human consumption.
Okay. Right. All right. Well,
if you can't grow it for 3 years on this property here,
right,
then why can we eat that after it has washed onto the neighboring property?
Yeah, I understand. That's basically, yeah. But the question is about why doesn't the runoff contaminate the crop that's being grown in the other soil, adjacent soil?
Well, that's why Denrick requires these buffers of 25 feet, and I would recommend that it be planted in a natural vegetated state. A large part of the project has woodland that surrounds it, and it's very unrealistic that on this well-maintained project that he's going to do, that there's going to be any soil particles moving or runoff running onto an adjacent property. And from what I've heard tonight, I heard something that I hadn't considered with the lima beans and so forth. I believe that the applicant may want to consider a 100-foot buffer like it would be to a well to these adjacent properties that are growing something that's consumable. But that's something that we would have to discuss maybe in a public workshop or in the future.
That would be something I think this group would be interested in knowing more about. Once again, one of the nice things about a conditional use is it is something we can make that requirement. This group, if they decided to approve it, can make that requirement. But we don't want to do it without having some solid basis for doing it. But
yeah, I think there would be a forum where Denrick officials could be there, concerned landowners could be there, and an agreement could be made as to this. And like they referenced Hanover Foods. There may be some specific corporation requirements that we would have to look into.
Okay.
That I have not taken to consider at this point. Okay. But I can find the information out.
Is there anybody here that can answer this notification question? Any kind of just perhaps you could help us out here.
I'm going to have to look at the regulations a little more closely. The time varies as far as the prohibition period between land application of biosolids and when a crop can be grown for human consumption. It depends if it's a root crop. It depends if the edible portion of the crop is above the surface of the soil. I think the longest time period is 38 months for a root crop. However, for
what he's asking though is if there is a problem, how do they find out? How does the neighboring farmer find out?
If there's a problem, are you now speaking of the monitoring wells?
Well, I'm speaking kind of about any kind of a problem that there might be. I think he's speaking about any kind of a problem. I mean, you know, is there some mechanism by which the adjacent property owners are notified, or do they have to find it out on their own? And if so, how do they do that?
I'd have to speak to individual concerns, but for instance, groundwater.
Yeah.
There's a hydrologist that'll be assigned to the site within an apartment. He's the same individual that one of the individuals that review well applications in the area, and he'll actually be reviewing this project if it's approved here with council, and make a determination as to where wells should be installed. But if the groundwater monitoring results came back with an exceedance of a drinking water standard, at that point he would be required to notify the property owners that potentially could be impacted by that.
Okay.
If it was right. Deemed, you know, a public health threat.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Churchill, Bill?
If I could just add that sending a lot of technical information to a lot of people probably doesn't serve any valid purpose, but if there was some representatives of the neighbors, we could provide copies of whatever we file with Denrec to those neighbors. I don't think that would be a problem.
Okay.
It could be a condition of approval.
All right. No. Well, that could be a condition of approval, maybe. Okay, I think we got it.
Can I ask, Mr.
Churchill? Oh, I'm sorry. You had a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Churchill, since there's been so much discussion about water leaving the applicant's property and potentially doing some harm elsewhere and buffers, but, I mean, in Denrec's, and I'm holding it in my hand, Denrec's buffer requirements, drainage ditches are only a 25-foot buffer. So, I mean, is the problem being overstated, or what is the real depth of the problem of bad stuff leaving the subject property and relocating?
In regards to nutrients, a vegetative buffer area 25 feet, we'd like to see more than that, but 25 feet or more. The regs allow us to increase that distance, should be sufficient to help knock down nitrogen and phosphorus. In regards to other constituents of concerns, I don't want to see, runoff from this facility going on other people's yards without a significant buffer, and I think that's something that we would work into the permit. Or if there's the council decides to put conditions, then we require that within our permit language.
But if we put a 100-foot buffer adjoining all property lines, that would be four times the 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, you think, of enough safety?
Based on the information I have, yes. The EPA does risk assessments.
And then you guys could increase it during the permit process if you needed to, right?
We could, yes.
So we could do a starting point of 100, and you could do whatever you wanted after that.
That is true. We make all our determinations on the risk assessment the EPA did to develop the 503 regulations.
Thank you.
All right. We thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. One more. Hold on, Mr. Churchill.
Not so much of Mr. Churchill, but actually of Mr. Desmond.
Okay, you can go.
You mentioned that there would be, you plan on having a buffer at a grassy area.
Yes.
So the buffer that was just spoken of by Mr. Ross would be a grassed area.
Yes.
And then you spoke about in the buffers you could do alternate planting, not this waste disposal.
Well, in Denrec's buffers, they're only applicable to application of the biosolids. They're not applicable to normal agricultural. So yeah, earlier, when I first asked the question, but if they grassed them in, then that's going to negate the opportunity to plant other crops.
So that would take no farming operation would occur ever in those areas, whether it be
correct.
Okay,
just there is a filter.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, no, one trip to a customer. One trip to, I'm sorry, yeah, one. Yes, sir, come on up. Come on up, one.
How you doing?
Pretty good so far. How about you?
You got to bear with me. It's a big name.
Illegible.
I'm going to say no.
Bill Pfaffenhauser. I live probably within a mile and a half, 2 miles of the area.
Okay.
And I have no expertise in the environmental issues. We've all...
Gentlemen, I'm not going to ask you again. Knock it off. This man up here is talking. Go ahead.
We've all pretty much heard the pros and cons of the environmental issues, and I really can't speak to them. But some of my other related concerns go toward management-type issues, namely, who monitors the test wells? Is that monitored by the applicant? Does DENREC actually do the testing? Is the testing done by an independent lab? What's to assure the credibility of the test well tests? The next question is, how often are those wells tested? And will the test be made public? That goes to the well issues. As far as the surface runoff issues go, how's that monitored? We're hearing where 25-foot buffers, 100-foot buffers, but in the same respect, we're also hearing people testify to water, significant flow of water coming onto their property and flooding their up 2 feet high. So to heck with 25 feet, it just blew over that.
Well, the idea of the buffer is not to retain, not to hold the water back, it's to filter the water as it's coming through.
Well, if it's,
but I understand, if you got 2 feet of water, 25 feet is not going to do much.
Right.
I got you. Okay.
I hear we're going to grass the buffer area.
It's going to be vegetated in some fashion.
I just saw a thing Sunday on Real Green where they said that grass was actually the least effective absorbent to manage runoff water.
Well, the grass you grow in your front yard probably is, but grass is a pretty generic term, covers a very wide range of vegetation, I would suggest to you.
Okay. And the last thing I've got is infrastructure. Has DelDOT looked at the road's capacity to hold the traffic? Those roads are rather tar and chip type roads in that area. I bike on 36, which is the main access to the area. I know there's other people that bike that. There's a lot of bikers that come out of Milford, and there's already no shoulder on that road. It's pretty scary to bike it now. Not that, you know, biking is a primary concern, but it is a public use.
Okay. All right, sir, we thank you.
Just one point of clarification. The DENREC requires the monitoring, and in the permit that was in the record, it describes the monitoring and the frequency of the monitoring, and it sort of depends on what the different tests are for, anywhere from quarterly to annually. And then there's a few that are twice per year, and then some that are, you know, again, annually or biannually, et cetera. So that's all established by DNREC.
And as far as who does it, I think frequently it is the responsibility of the operator to collect the data, send it to DENREC. Is that correct?
The observation wells where we measure the depth, we do ourselves. The actual monitoring of the wells is done by an independent laboratory. They come down, collect their sample. They've got keys to our
Okay, so it is
farms.
Independent. Okay.
Yes.
Good. Okay. All right. Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Tracy Ingram, and I own the property directly across from the chicken houses on McCully Road. And I've got three concerns. The first one is, we talked about the bond a little bit, and the $45,000 I also don't feel is adequate. For one thing, again, you know, the wells, the expense of to replace wells is probably $1 million, maybe reasonable for that. But you also get into the loss of property value. And as the other gentleman who talked about the salt business, that gentleman's going to declare bankruptcy. And I understand his position. I'm sympathetic to it. But this corporation could do the same thing. And then I still have no property value. So I think a bond maybe could be considered for something like that.
Okay.
If it turns out the wells are contaminated and we're contacted and we're advised not to drink our water and I have to buy water, and everybody who watches media knows it's more expensive than gasoline, who's going to reimburse me? And then the other concern is, Mr. Mills, I think, brought up about the how he's supposed to keep his chicken houses so clean in that area. If they're using the same non-paved road and they're staging directly behind the chicken houses, couldn't there be some cross-contamination to untreated chicken house waste being spread or passed over and therefore trafficked into this area where only treated stuff is supposed to be exposed?
I don't know. Except it does seem a little like it might be kind of difficult unless there's chicken manure all over the road and they pick it up on their tires. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking it's possible. It's feasible.
Well, it probably
is. They're traffic. They're using that road. They're crossing over that road. In other words, and every time they'd access to that equipment, they'd have to cross through the chicken house area because that's 50 feet from the road, 100 feet, whatever.
Okay. Well, maybe. Okay. Who's next? All right, now I'm going to ask you, come on up. We're reaching the point of repetitious here, so tell me something new.
Wayne Hurd. I live at 22441 Cedar Beach Road.
Well,
it's about a mile and a quarter from this site. this sand or farm back here is mostly sand.
Mm-hmm.
If it rains on it right now, the water goes right on through it.
Okay.
if you instill all the sewer sludge, the grease from the rapiscrapple, the grease from the wash plants that the wash down at the chicken plants, if you plug up all the pores in the top of this sand, where's the water going? It's not going through it. It's going to run off somewhere. It's either going on somebody's farm, or keep on going and going.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else? Going once. Going twice. Last chance. All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you. Before we close the public hearing and invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, I do want to thank you all for your patience. You have been a remarkably well-behaved, polite group, and we always appreciate that. This is a big job here, you know, because we know that no matter what we do, somebody's going to be unhappy, but that's just on the way it goes. When we adjourn, most of you are going to want to get up and leave. And usually when people get up, they start talking. We actually have two more of these to do this evening, okay? So I'm going to ask you, if you're going to leave, if you would please do it quietly. In fact, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do it. We'll close the public hearing. We do want to remind you that, and thank you, Mr. Smith has just reminded me that there is another public hearing in front of County Council. The way this process works is this group here makes a recommendation to County Council. County Council will make the final decision. So there are really two public hearings. There's this one, and then there's the one in front of County Council, which is on December 11th. And I want to encourage all of you to be there, be heard, get up, stay there as long as you want. Tell them everything that's on your mind, just like you have with us this evening. It is that important. So with that, we'll close the public hearing, and we'll take a 5-minute recess.